Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome
Atlantic City. Get it right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Originally from Atlanta, well, not originally, but normally out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Byron Jones is broadcasting out of Atlantic City. He wanted to be there for the first game, and he's in the owner's lounge. So we are live, brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is September 7, 2023. We're already going into the holiday season. Time goes by fast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to Sportscast on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. You could also get us on Stitcher, or if you got, we have our podcast is on Apple. Please leave us a review. Jersey Boy Sports Talk, you see the picture. Well, not this one, I'll show you the next one behind us. If you like what you're hearing, smash the subscribe button below and please share it to smart sport friends. We are streaming live as you listen to us. We are streaming live every Thursday, 8 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube. You could also see our playlist, and then you could also hear us on the podcast. We have a lot of sheets, spreadsheets that Byron's built over the last couple of years, over the top 25, the best in the league, linemen, depth charts of the Giants. Go check that out and download it. Let's get ready to go, get started. Mr. Byron Jones, live out of Atlantic City. How are you today?
It was a little hot around here today. I'm sure it's down in Delaware, it's probably just the same, but it was hot. But being right here on the, right on the board, I mean, right in the board, just walk outside, you get the nice breeze from outside, man, because it was cooking before I got over here. So, you know, we've been here like, you know, the last 3-4 days. So we're leaving tomorrow. But yeah. It's
right. Been, oh, you're going to leave right as it cools down.
Mr. John Rodenberg, welcome to the show. Our Denver and Colorado sports expert. I appreciate you joining our show as always, my fraternity brother. And hey, listen, I have my background right now, and I'll be switching it back. I just want to shout out to a good friend of mine and Byron's and Amboy Nation, Mo Bryant. Today was a year. I can't believe it was a year from his passing. And I mean, within a year, I lost Mo, how many friends, and then my stepdad and my dad. Man, I must have lost. I'm close to almost double digits in friends and family.
Yeah,
it's been a rough year for me. I'm starting to get gray hair. I mean, as long as I got hair, I'm fine. But I've got gray hair, starting to turn gray. So as you guys comb yours, all right. So Mo, God bless you, Bryant, the Bryant family. Mo's good, deep friend of mine. God bless you, Mo. I know you're playing all kinds of sports and showing them who the captain is up there in heaven. We bless you, Mo, and your family.
Well, hey, Victor, guess what? They needed him the other day when I went to the Perth Amway Carteret game. Woo, that was brutal.
Well, you know, that usually happens, unfortunately, for Perth Amway
football. 42-7.
I got to get a new background. I'm going to change the background, change up the show. 42. Oh, I heard Carteret's pretty good, though.
It was a lot of speed on the Carteret. A lot of speed.
What kind of offense is Amboy running?
Spread offense, like everybody.
Well, I mean, that's what you need. First of all, Amboy should have ran the spread offense before everybody else, only because we always had good athletes, right?
But they did run the run and shoot when Coach Stinson was there. The guy that he left and went, I think he went to the Giants or someplace he went. But originally, like in the early 90s, because the one kid that they had that came from Franklin Township, he ended up playing at Clemson. And Stinson was his head coach at Franklin Township. And then he, you know, came to Perth Amboy. And they did like an early, like when they had what was that? Brad Bishop and William Clark and those guys, they did run the run and shoot, you know, in the early 90s.
You have to with Amboy because we don't have the big linemen and stuff. You got to run. First of all, our kids like to score. That's why we're good in basketball, right? And then we got position athletes. So you just got to make quick. It's just got to be faster passing, you know what I mean? And defensively, you also got to get the kids to come out. We got kids walking the halls that should be playing that don't play.
Should have seen the ones I saw when I went to the game. The kids that was in the stand was bigger than the ones on the field.
That happens all the time. So, you know, anyways, shout out to Mo and those who lost some money. I mean, we've all lost, and I'm still dealing with my dad. So hopefully it'll get a little bit easier each day. I just keep thinking of calling him. It's hard, man. That habit is crazy, man. You would think that it's past, you know. So, but anyhow, we got a lot to talk about. We are, the football season is starting tonight, right? What channel is it on? Because I turned it on Prime. It's not on Prime.
NBC.
NBC, yeah.
It's on regular TV. All right, so I'll get that on now. All right, so just so we're clear. Oh, why did I do that? This way clear. Byron picked Detroit to win this game. John, who do you have?
I'm going with my man Byron.
Whoa!
Yeah, oh my God. You got no. I'm saying no, I'm taking Kansas City. I ain't going against
Patrick. Detroit's a dark horse. I don't, you know, how they finished the year last year. I want to see what they can do this year. You know,
they finished the season 8-2 last year.
Yep.
Yeah. And they got better. They're even better than they were last year. I'm just turning it on. All right, so you have them winning. I got Kansas City. I'm not going to go against Patrick Holmes like I did.
You know Kelsey's not playing tonight, right?
I did not know that.
He's not playing. That's the only thing that makes it easier to take Detroit.
I'm not going to change my choice.
You know their best defensive lineman is not playing too, right? Chris Jones. You know he's up in the suite right now over there.
Did they sign him though?
No, he's in the suite. Chilling, watching the game. They just said that on TV. Oh,
he's next to Byron.
I thought he was next to you, Byron.
He's right over there.
That's exactly what I was going to say, John.
Hey, Doug, what's up, man? What's up,
Kyle? I know Byron, where he goes. I'm in the owner's club. His club.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Time is good, yeah. So, anyways, I'm excited for Sunday Night Football, too, because we got a bad boy, big boy Giants. They're playing at the Giants. Byron, I picked the Giants. Byron, you picked the Giants, right? Yeah.
You know I picked the Giants, man. Come on, man. We gonna start that again?
No, we're just making sure our fans are clear on who your team is.
I can't, in clear conscience, pick the Cowboys. I just can't do it.
It's good enough.
Oh, Byron, you see all the smack I talk about the Cowboys on Facebook?
Yeah, all the time.
I can't take that back. I cannot take that back.
All right, so we're excited. Do we have any injuries on the Giants right now that we're concerned with that you have over there, Byron?
No. Well, they got the guy like Wandell Robinson with the knee. You know, he's coming back from that. And it was, you know, just a little minor, so, you know, Nixon, you know, whatever from preseason. But, you know, they're full go live come Sunday night.
I think we're going to take that game. I think we're going to take the game.
Let me kick that Alice Wandell.
I think it's going to be 24-21.
Yeah, I picked that, though. Just so you remember, you know, Tyron Smith, their great tackle, is hurt again.
Dallas.
Tyron Smith, the one that's like old world, is always like for the last 2-3 years, he's been hurt like every year. He's hurt again, like a hamstring or something. So we'll see how effective he's going to be against Mr. Thibodeau and Ojulari and Mr. Isaiah Simmons.
Nothing would be sweeter than to start off the season with a giant win against Dallas.
I'm going to go 24-17, Giants.
24-17. All right. So we're giving this. So we're excited about that. And the Giants that's going to be happening. Giants in Dallas. And then you got Philadelphia. Who's Philadelphia's first opponent, Giant? Byron?
Oh, Patriots.
Oh, that's right.
Ooh.
Eagles.
Patriots. Yeah, I'm going to pick Eagles.
I'm picking the Patriots. I'm going to be difficult. I did that the other day. I picked the Patriots. I'm going to be difficult. I'm going to say the Patriots are going to pull an upset.
Hey, listen to me. I would not mind if the Patriots, you know, listen to me. Anytime an NFC East team loses, I don't mind. I just think Philadelphia is a good team. I'm not sure if Belichick has got his team ready yet. You know, I don't know. Mac Jones still has time, and I don't think he's got enough power to go against those guys, but we'll see what happens. The Commanders.
They have two good tight ends, New England. And they're going to run a lot of, you know, 12 personnel. And the Eagles have a new, Kobe Dean, a linebacker there, and they have new safeties. And usually when you have, you know, the 12 personnel, you attack the middle of the field, you know, with the linebackers. And if there's a weakness, he's going to find it.
Well, you know, I like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones, at least, you know, in the beginning, and let's see if it pans out, I thought Mac Jones was a good pick for them. He's truly smart. Right, he can handle the playbook for the Patriots. You know, it's not easy. But Patriots don't have an easy playbook.
Well, they got the new OC.
Remember, Trey Lance was the smartest quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. We see how that worked out. He's with Dallas.
He's smart enough to get his contract and get traded. That shocked me. But I think they'll do. I think that he's a good quarterback for the Patriots. But you know, you never know what's going to happen there. They got to do something. Just see how long it's going to take for him to break that record, how long he's going to stay around. to break that record. All right, and then the Commanders, you know, I don't think it really matters. Commanders play, but hey, I like to see Ron Rivera though.
I'm not gonna beat them down. Let's don't beat them down. They're gonna surprise some people, man. I'm telling you, man, they're gonna be a lot better than what people think they are. They already have a good defense, and they just need a quarterback. And I believe in Sam Howell. I like him. Yeah, I like them out of North Carolina, but we'll see how it's gonna roll. And Eric Bieniemy, I want to see him be successful there too.
Yeah, that's the hard part about that being in NFCs. I like to see Bieniemy be successful, right? I like to see Ron Rivera be successful. It's just they're in our conference, right? So, and then what are they, 2 years removed from the playoffs?
Who?
The Commanders.
Yeah, after they backed in when Philadelphia pulled that flim-flam on the Giants a few years ago.
Yeah, whatever the deal is. At least playoff experience, player experience. All right, so, hey, look, we got a lot to talk about. Joey Bosa signed a big contract. Was it a dollar? Was it a dollar? Was it a dollar more?
No, it was 100 and what I think 170.
Not Joey, Nick. Or five.
Yes, Nick.
Yes, Nick, not Joey.
Nick. Joey's the other guy. And it's like $122 million guaranteed. But the only problem, get that big contract, that guy, like, hey, Chris, hey, what's his name? Just got $122 million guaranteed. Now he's going to want the same thing with the Chiefs.
Let him overspend. I don't care.
Yeah, but when you look at, like, I looked at, like, San Francisco's, like, the guys that are getting paid on that team, they got a whole lot of, like, I mean, like, a tremendous, yeah, you know, Debo Sanders, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner. They got, like, six or seven or eight guys, I mean, are making a ton of money. And, you know, that bill's going to come due real soon, you know, as far as with a salary cap.
I was looking for his contract. I ain't looking so bad. It says how many reps. Reps did those do? He did a lot. He did 29 reps of 225.
Who?
Nick Bosa.
Dude, that kid, yo, man, you figured.
Dude, I did 19. That was a defensive back.
You figured a dad played football in the NFL, which we know Miami.
I'm just saying, I did 19. 19 was pretty good.
For who?
I did 19 reps.
I didn't believe you did no 19, man. You probably 19 with something else, man. 19.
No, I was 19 versus 225, bro. I was doing four sets of 10 with 225 while I was a senior.
That's it?
Four sets of 10?
That's all?
So I could do 19 at one time.
19 what?
19 reps, 225 is what I did.
Yeah, okay. Prove it.
I don't think those records were kept for MUPS list. So
number one and number two, you know, thank God there was no social media when I was around. That would have been a problem. But I did do 19, bro. I was strong as shit.
Are you sure?
I'm telling
it wasn't
you,
like
bro.
On the universe. Wait a minute, it wasn't on the universal machine. It was like the real, you know, the real thing.
Dude, I was incarnate. That
wasn't universal.
Did he just pull out the universal on you?
I was incarnate. Yes, bro, I was inclined at 315.
What, on the universal?
No, what's that? What's
wrong? Yo, hey, I mean, you remember
John was younger than me, but but this isn't in high school, bro. This is my senior year. What are you talking about? Anyways, I was just saying, 29 reps was good. You know who hit, I think, broke a record with Pete Volpe? Volpe did a high number of reps. I don't know. You don't remember him, John. This dude was a stud, bro. He came transferred from our college. He was able to walk onto the Jets. That dude did a lot, right? He was great. Him and I on defense, and then Al Callahan and Pat O'Hagan. We had a lot of good guys at Argentina. But anyways, let's go. Joey Bosa's contract is hold on a second. Nick Bosa's contract. Just want to look at it so he could talk smack to his brother, right? I should put verse.
Well, the one thing about Nick is he's not hurt as much as Joey is.
Yeah, Joey's hurt all the time.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, once again, the Chargers defense doesn't scare a Denver fan at all.
They had a video when I guess Joey was going into the stadium when they were playing the Eagles. Man, them Eagles fans was roasted Joey Bosa all the way in. Oh, my God. They was killing this guy.
Say that again.
When his brother was playing against the Eagles, Joey Bosa was coming to the stadium over here in Philadelphia. And as he was coming in, you know, they start, you know, Joey, and just started chanting. And then, like, I mean, lighting them. I can't say some of the stuff they were saying. And then, you know, back at him. And then they kept going. And then next, you know, his girlfriend like sort of shuffling, you know, into the stadium. But oh, they was roasting him.
So he got 170 million. He got 122 guaranteed at 25 years old.
Yep.
And man, I ran into that kid while he was playing as a freshman, a sophomore.
Well, guess what? He got paid. I think his brother got paid too a couple years ago.
Joey's Bosa's card brings him, and Joey's he's got an average of 27 million versus here. Nick versus Joey comparisons. Let's see.
Not bad.
Nick and
Joey, you know who the favorite's going to be at Thanksgiving now.
Yeah, Nicky. Hey, Nicky. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, his father, when he played back there in Miami, I'm sure he didn't make nowhere near the kind of money these guys are making. Not even close.
Not even adjusted for 2023.
No.
Nick's is 170, guaranteed 122. Joey's is 135. So you got full 35 million different. Average is 27. His average is 34. His guaranteed is 102. Joey's guarantees is 122. It's a little bro, but he deserves it. The little brother's usually the better athlete anyways.
Oh, he's a great athlete. You know, ain't no mistake about that.
Except for Eli. Peyton was better, but that's another story.
Yeah, but Eli was the better athlete.
Yes, that I will say.
Eli was a better athlete. And Pate has said Eli is a better quarterback.
And what that comes from? He did say that. And what
Peyton that comes said from? He said that. But Eli didn't like putting the work I put in. He didn't put in the studying Peyton was a pure student.
Well, you figure when they had the story about like when Eli, like when he first got to Ole Miss. That, you know, he got caught out there drinking. You know, you never heard about with Peyton. You know, everything with Peyton, you heard he was watching film, you know, always working his craft. But Eli was having a good time, you know, down there at Ole Miss.
They also said that Cooper, the older brother, was really good.
Yeah, Cooper was actually, they say, better than either one.
They say he was one of the best. Just But, man.
That's Arch Manning's dad.
You got two sons. You got $200 million in the household. I think Mama got a new house.
No, it's more than that because Eli was like two sons. Both of them were over $200
million. I'm talking about the Boses.
Oh, the Boses,
What happens to John last week, we were talking about, like, Nick just wants to get $1 more than his brother.
Yeah.
Well, he got $35 million.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have done the same thing. I just want $1 more to my brother.
Hey, listen to me. I know from what I know of that family that I've seen, I'm sure his brother is very happy for his little brother because they played on the national championship team together when Nick was a freshman and Joey was a senior.
Yeah.
And I was at that game. Huh? What was that?
They've got big apart, like 2 or 3 years like that.
They're only three. Yeah. So his brother was a senior and Joey is a senior. Nick was a freshman.
Yeah, but Joey was a 12-year senior, so let's be realistic about that. He was 32.
I don't know, but like I said, you know, there's genes. I mean, that's amazing, though, to have a father. What are the odds that your kids, you know, think about it. Look at me. I'm 6 foot. You know, my father was 5'9". My mom was maybe 5'2", right? But then you have guys that are really big, and their kids aren't as big, right? Your parents that are really big. Like that kid Christian Gonzalez, I think the defensive back.
Yeah, father, like 6'2".
Yeah, he's 6'2", but his father's 6'10". His father was like a pro basketball player, and his mom was like a track star. His sister's a track superstar, but his father's 6'10". He's 6'2". Now 6'2" isn't tiny. I'm just saying to you, but to have then two sons to be phenomenal defensive end athletes as well. And I'm telling you, like I said, the father, when you see him, you knew that guy was some kind of athlete. Because of his age and just he's still built. He's still in great shape. You know what I mean? So God bless the Boza family.
He was part of the Killer Bees back in the day with Miami Dolphins.
I didn't even know he was a first round pick. I didn't realize he was that good. And shout out to St. Thomas Aquinas, right? Who produces a lot of good football out there. So let's go. So we got that. I got something to go with, and we're gonna go a little bit off this piece. So you know how much Deion Sanders fan I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There we go. We're heading toward the right part now. Okay. There you go.
So it's a couple of things. One, I'd like to congratulate Colorado. Number one. Number two, there was zero defense in that game.
No, none whatsoever.
1,000 yards combined. I mean, he could talk. He could, you know, it's God bless his son, because, you know, the son came from, you know, HSBC, which still has great athletes. Because remember, back in the day, Grambling was producing a lot of pros.
They all were. Jackson State, you know, don't forget Walter Payton went to Jackson State.
Yes, don't forget Jim and Jerry Rice went to Mississippi State.
Yep, or Mississippi Valley.
Mississippi Valley, right? So anyways, but my point being is that he came in, he put up numbers. The kid was ice, because I only saw the last 7 minutes of the game when I realized when it was on. I didn't realize that it made sense that TCU was ranked because they were in the national championship last year, but they got
crushed. Thank you.
Yeah, and but there was zero offense in the game. So congratulations to him. Congratulations, Colorado, because Colorado only won one game last year. So to start off in the beginning of the season to beat a ranked team, and I think it was in Colorado, right?
Yeah, I know. It was in
it was the TCU, I meant.
And by the way, Uncle Eric, CU alumni. So –
TCU alumni?
No, Colorado alumni.
Colorado. All right. Yeah. Congratulations, Uncle Eric. We gave a shout out to him last week too.
Yeah, great.
So hopefully he doesn't listen. You're right, though. Hopefully he doesn't just listen when you're on.
I don't even think he knows I'm on
right now. But here's my problem now that I got, and Byron, you're gonna enjoy this. Okay, well, you know what I'm holding up here, right? So you know what offended me by Deion Sanders is he got mad at a report. He goes, "I'm not a null. Because where did I graduate from?" So he's considering it. That's offensive. I kind of like lost a little respect for him.
How is that offensive?
Because he got a degree from an HSBC college. Doesn't mean that's what
come on, you're killing me.
Historically Black University, all right? I'd rather say that. The initials kill me. I can't get it right anytime. What is it? H what? HSBC. What?
HCBU. Now you got me going.
See, he's wrong. AC historically.
Whatever, man. You're killing me right now. See,
you don't even know what that
is. I know what it is. You got me all
historically. Historically Black college and university.
There you go.
HBCU.
Oh, HBCU.
Leave it to the whitest guy on the show to know that. Jeez, what am I doing you two?
Okay, HBCU. That's offensive to me because one, kids went to Florida State. Two, there is nobody in football that you ask where's Deion Sanders from, and they're not going to say Florida State. He played for Bobby Bowden. I thought it was disrespectful for his teammates. He played baseball, basketball, and track. He got his degree. I would have preferred him saying, "Listen, I played for Florida State. Yes, it was a null. That's where I got into the pros, but I graduated from HBCU college." Well,
all he was doing was just stirring the pot, man. That's all he was doing.
That's all. No,
but he was so adamant about it. It bothered me. Then I didn't realize that he actually. I thought he didn't want the Florida State head coaching position. I thought time we talked about it, and they're just saying that he wanted it, and they didn't give it to him. So maybe that's what teed him off.
He did interview for it.
Wanted him there. Are you kidding me?
Them alumni at Florida State are not ready for Deion Sanders.
No, they are not.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Why do you say that?
Go ahead, Byron. I both know what you're going to say. So go ahead and say it.
I don't want to say it, man.
Okay.
We're just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
It's they're not ready for that.
Well, then that's stupid because they should have taken him, number one. Number two, they liked him when he played.
Yeah, that's the difference.
And they also didn't mind when he was prime time when he played.
That's a difference.
Okay. Yep. And he not only that, he played, he won on track, he won on football, and he played baseball. Yeah. So his entire career was from there. It just bothered me when he said, and you know how much of a fan I am of Deion Sanders. Yeah. I just didn't like him denying it. No, and you're probably right, him stirring up the pot. It just bothered me just because he just got his degree from over there from another school, represent that school. I think he did a great job bringing recognition back to HBCU schools. I think he did a phenomenal job. I think he did a phenomenal job as a coach. I think he did a phenomenal job showing, because he brought he brought several HBCU athletes to Colorado, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. A lot of kids in Jackson.
Because he kicked the other, 87 left. It was a bunch. It was a whole, the whole team turned over. And I think maybe less than 10 kids actually stayed, you know, that was the World Scholarship. It wasn't many. If you
think about it, it is for that school, is a kick in the butt. Because they have been wandering around the desert for like the last 20 years as far as being a winning organization.
They also didn't pay him.
No.
I mean, what they paid him was like chump change for him.
No.
A million.
It was what?
I think it was 900 something thousand.
No, it's more than that because I think his contract was like 29 million. It was like 25.9 or whatever, over whatever amount of time. But then the guy, it was out there. They said that, well, we don't have the money. And they said within a couple of days, the alumni kicked in $28 million. So they did get the money like within a week.
Yep.
What was at Jackson State, right?
No. At Colorado.
No, Colorado, I know. I'm talking about it. Where was he at?
Jackson State.
Yeah, that's where I'm saying he was only getting paid that.
Oh. Yeah. He turned around. He gave a lot of that money back.
With
the facilities there.
And that's something he doesn't need to do in Boulder because
his contract was $300,000 with ticket sales, incentives. Contract deal was worth a 4-year, $1.2 million that included $120,000 in annual performance incentives.
Yeah, that wasn't much.
He's worth a lot.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, wait. You want to hear a lot now? Joe Burrow has reached agreement with the Bengals on a 5-year, $275 million extension, $219 million guaranteed.
Yep. Woo!
Yep. $219 guaranteed just now.
Yep.
He's still less than Deshaun Watson.
What?
Still less than Deshaun Watson, isn't it? I think Deshaun was like
Byron. Get the spreadsheet up.
I think.
Yeah, I think the Deshaun Watson.
The total is 279, but what's his name? Watson is like 236 guaranteed or something like that.
He's got Deshaun Watson's 230. No, everything's guaranteed. 5 years, 230,000, 230,000 guaranteed.
You know what? I'll take that 219 any day.
Mm-hmm. And 230,000 guaranteed at signing? No, that can't be right. Did he get a $500 million contract?
Who? Joe Burrow?
No.
He got 275 Austin. Over 5 years. Yeah, you might as well say it.
Yeah, I might as well say that, yeah.
Yeah, he got paid.
Hey, who's walking around the owner's box back there? I just saw someone walk past, man.
Probably Jerry Jones.
Maintenance guy.
Okay.
It's Jerry Jones.
No, it's Chris Jones back there.
Well, good for Joe Burrows from a guy who transferred out of Ohio State that Ohio State wants to keep taking credit for.
Wait a minute. You know, you played this position. I don't know why you didn't bring up this one kid, Travis Hunter. Did you watch him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. That kid was good.
129 snaps.
He played both sides. Deion talked about him.
Yep.
And he said that he goes, Michael Irvin talked about it as well, because that's how Michael Irvin said that they got him to come over to Dallas from San Francisco by telling Deion, we're going to let you play receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Travis Hunter, Deion was saying, a guy like Travis Hunter, you can't put a guy like that on the side of the ball, one side of the ball. That kid is
– you got to play both, yeah.
He's a first rounder in both sides. You can pick him as a first rounder, the receiver, first rounder. He had an interception. And how many yards did he receive it? 126.
Over 100, like 111.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kid is phenomenal, man.
Okay, so let's throw this out there. So if he keeps –
I forgot about Travis Hunter. That was my bad. But that kid was phenomenal.
If he keeps up this level, the whole season is the second – Heisman Trophy.
But the downside of that is staying healthy, playing like that, playing both sides.
That's a lot. And you figure it was in the heat down there in Fort Worth, though.
Yeah, but you know, this kid's how old is he?
What, 20 probably, 19, 20, somewhere around.
I mean, he's, you know, and look, I agree with you, John, but you know, look,
the kids are dumb and stupid. We know
it's not only that, it's just that you know, at that level, you know, he's a pro playing against non-pros players,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's not like, and he's playing in positions where, you know, he's not the quarterback. He's not a running back that's going to get, you know, he's giving the hits, you know what I mean? Right. And when he gets his, when he catches the ball, he's a defensive guy. He's giving the hits. You know what I mean? He's
never, not. Charles Woodson won the Heisman doing the same thing.
That's true.
That's exactly.
Yep.
That's my point. Right. So, and I don't think and Charles Woodson played at Michigan, which is a tougher conference than Colorado's conference. You don't think Michigan still had to play.
Well, back in those days, that's when Colorado was good. That's when they were winning national championships.
They won the national championship in what, 99?
Yeah, 89.
Yeah, they were when that quarterback was sick, right?
Yeah. The year after, when they beat Notre Dame, that was a clip on that last play.
I have the DVD upstairs. That's awesome.
Sorry, Notre Dame fans, you lost.
Yeah, Travis Hunter is he's the real deal, man. And it was just funny that Michael Irvin was saying that's exactly what they did with Deion. They said, Deion, you come play for us, we're gonna let you play receiver.
Yep.
Right. Well, he probably promised the kid the same thing. I want to see what he's making in NIL money.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. We got to figure that one out. All right, so we got that going on. We got Travis Hunter. We can. I had to just bring up Deion. It just bothered me about that, but I did. Those players did play well. And look, his son is good.
Yeah.
His son produced at
he didn't
at
flinch.
No, man.
At all.
He did not. But then again, both teams were terrible on defense.
And who was his mentor?
Byron Jones. We know this. Why are you bragging?
Not Harley. Who's his mentor, Victor? You see the guy all the time. You know, when you golfing and stuff.
Brady?
There you go. That's his guy.
Brady mentored him?
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I'm saying that's his mentor. Yeah, he talks to him all the time.
Brady talks with how do you pronounce his name?
Sander. Shador or something
Shador,
like that.
Shador?
Sander.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't believe Brady never brought it up to you, Vic.
Yeah, why wouldn't he tell you, Victor?
Yeah, you guys are tight, right?
Well, because we always talk about the other thing.
Okay.
You know, I want to talk about his you know, how he invests and, you know, how he's going through a divorce and, you know, it's
VictorRoadshow.com.
Yeah, anyway. Yes, go to VictorRoadshow.com. That's right. Go in there. You can make some money there.
Gave you a free plug.
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it, my fraternity brother. I am here to protect lives and make sure that we leave generational money. And we don't have to play. We do not have to play in the NFL to leave generational money to help our kids.
Putting a plug in right now?
Yes, I am.
I started it. Byron, it's my fault. I started it.
He brought it up.
I brought it up. Sorry.
I had to run with it. And don't forget a gravy stack. Look at just got our we got our debit card for kids. Right, and this teaches them like money goes in there. It then it goes in different pockets: one to save, one to spend, one to invest, and one to give to the church or to any charity you want. It's a great way to teach kids financial education. Lord knows this country needs financial education. That's a fact.
Byron, I'm sorry. I got him going.
Somebody gotta keep the lights on, baby. Somebody can keep the light. Hey, look, I'm protecting lives. So, anyways, all righty. So we got that. It's still 0-0 in the first quarter. So nobody's doing anything. All right, Byron. What you got next? I had a few more, so I'm trying to go through my list right now.
The New York Jets crying about, you know, Aaron Rodgers still crying about, you know, what happened, you know, in the preseason game.
I haven't been paying any attention
to the Giants.
To the Jets. Yeah. What happened in the preseason game?
Jahar Ward, one of the edge rushers, pushed him after he threw the play. And then, you know, they got into it. And basically, you know, I don't know you, bro. Who are you, bro? And they're going back and forth. Then, you know, Aaron Rodgers saying he's a liar, you know, that it didn't happen like that, even though you had, what do you call that, Hard Knocks on?
Yeah.
Taped the whole conversation between these two, but he's still trying to say the guy's lying. So, you know, when we play you in October, you know, so it's back and forth with that.
Someone touched Aaron?
Oh, yeah, they pushed him.
Oh, no. Is he okay?
Yeah, he got a little boo-boo on his shoulder, whatever. Yeah.
I'm so worried about Aaron Rodgers' well-being.
He should worry about them two tackles. He has a 38-year-old left tackle that just came back, you know, from, you know, Dwayne Brown is 38. Yeah. The other guy hasn't really played in the last 3 years. Mekhi Becton from Louisville. He's a big, giant, huge something. And you better worry about the offensive line and don't worry about all the other extra stuff, because it might come down to crumbling when they played the Bills on Sunday, or was it Monday night?
You know, it kind of makes me think maybe they should run in the running
Sunday and Monday. You know that, right, yeah. Right, guys? It's going to be a tiring Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
Because you got Sunday night, we got our Giants and the Cowboys, and then, you know, we got to be up Monday night to watch the Bills and the Jets.
I just want to watch it for the beatdown, that's all.
Beatdown of who?
Uh-oh, Detroit just scored. Amen, Rod.
Oh, I'm a little bit delayed. Oh, yeah.
I don't have the game on here, so it's...
What did you say? Who's going to get beat down?
Because I changed my mind. I'm going to say the Jets are going to get beat down. By Buffalo.
Famous Byron flip.
Okay, wait a second. Who do you have winning the AFC East?
Oh, now I got Buffalo. I changed my mind again.
You are the worst, dude. You are such a flip-flopper.
Yeah, like, no, I just did
a... You on four shows saying AFC East. I even have it picked.
I just did a dive off the balcony.
Yeah, that was he's outside the owner's box right now. That's
right. No, I could just walk outside the door and I'd be out on the beach.
I'm still saying Miami only if Tua stays healthy.
Oh, right.
No,
where are the quotes?
Sorry.
Say it again.
Only if Tua stays healthy.
Okay. No, that's not going to happen.
No, I know that, but it's not going to happen. He's only 7 days away from going into concussion protocol.
The Jets got a good defense. Buffalo's got a good defense, and Belichick's got a good defense. That guy's not going to survive the season.
He's taking jujitsu and all kind of stuff to learn how to fall, you know, so he can protect himself when he gets, you know, when he gets blindsided or whatever.
It doesn't protect the brain. That doesn't protect the brain.
See, but when you fall, you know, when you hit the ground, and if you have your arms going, that cushions the blow with your head.
When you get hit, you get hit.
Yeah.
He tried that falling stuff. It was in preseason, bro. Those boys ain't going. They're going to be coming after. They know it, right? That AFC East is up for grabs.
That's why I flipped back to Buffalo.
But when Tua goes down, I am taking Buffalo.
When Tua goes down, okay. So your Tua goes down, Buffalo. I'm picking Jets.
I have faith. Come on, man. Come on. Come to the dark side. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on with the Buffalo. Bills Mafia.
Come on, Victor.
No Bills Mafia. No. I'm picking the Jets, and we'll see what happens. So, John, you've missed several shows, and several shows I brought you up.
Okay.
And the reason being is, tell us what's happening. Look. When you hear reports of, you know, things going on Aaron Rodgers, or reports and Tua in Miami and this and that, it's not the same kind of reporting that's coming out of Denver between Peyton and Russell Wilson, right? And it's not positive, right?
But
it's not like totally negative, like that it's just not how it's just that
they I think keep, it's I think it's negative.
It's a flip-flop. I'm gonna finish here and you don't let you go. It's a flip-flop. It's like he's not his quarterback, but type of quarterback, but that's why Peyton was brought there and he fixed some stuff. So it's like, you know, why do you keep switching the narrative? So I'm gonna let you go. It's your team. I keep bringing that up. It's something's not happening in paradise.
And I never said it was paradise, number one.
No, I didn't say you did.
I think part of it is, you know, Russell Wilson, over the last how many years he's been playing, has been built up by whatever organization he's in. Okay. Now, I'm not saying what Sean Payton is doing is right, wrong, and different, but it is giving him a little bit different taste of, you know, what a coach should be. I always go back to Herb Brooks, 1980 Olympic hockey coach. I'll be your coach. I won't be your friend. You know, and that's kind of the way that Sean, and I think after this year, him and Sean will be best buddies. But right now, there's still a little bit of conflict. And I'm one of those people who think sometimes conflict is good. You know, Dan Reeves and John Elway hated each other.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, mainly because of Mike Shanahan as the offense coordinator. But that's another story for another time. I think sometimes when you get that between coach and player, it can actually work out well for everyone. I don't think there's animosity.
Wilson's
there.
Noel way.
That's true. That's true too. But I think that I don't think there's any animosity. I think it's just Peyton wants him to be more of a, you know, tough guy. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's right, but there is some validity to it.
It bothers me this. It's not like, you know, it's just some smelly there, right? Like I just pulled up right now a day ago that Russell was called out for not being focused.
He's trying to Justin Herbert next year, so.
Yeah, because he has a certain image, I guess, he wants to uphold, you know, Russell Wilson and, you know, that with him and his wife, and, you know, there's a certain thing they want to do. And I guess Sean Payton is like, you know, we're here to play football and all that other stuff.
You say that for the offseason. This is football season now.
Well, let me tell you,
I guess Payton, the one that came out yesterday was you're not here to bleep and kiss babies. You're here to play football. You're not running for public office.
He used the footwork.
Yeah, I bleeped it. You saw that. But there was, and I don't do that often, you know, especially after going to Upsala. But we kind of use that word liberally. But
I have it here where you stop bleeping, kissing all the babies.
Yeah.
You're not running for public office.
But I think, once again, that's something that Russell Wilson also needs to hear. You know, I think, he has his own image, but he also, you're a football player and you're playing at a high level and you're playing for a team that paid a lot of money to get you there and gave up a lot to get you there. And also, you know, they paid a lot to bring Sean Payton in, and you pay that much for a head coach, it's pretty much his way or the highway. And I think Russell's figuring that out. And I think by hopefully after the first couple of weeks, he'll have it figured out. But you know, it also could be just, you know, they're playing us. You know, they're running
optics.
The gag on us.
You know, it could be optics, but it also could be, it could also be, and Byron, I want you to answer to this. It could also be that, you know, Russell, Sean Payton is demonstrating to the team. Nobody's exempt.
Yeah.
Especially the number one guy on the team. So therefore, if I'm that hard on him, you better watch out, number 56.
Hey, leave Barrett Browning alone, man. Come on, the guy's coming off.
The 56th player, the 57th,
okay.
53rd player. Every one of them needs to beware.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like no difference when Tampa won the Super Bowl. Arians called out. I mean, he wasn't as bad as what's happening with you guys, but Arians called out Brady, you know, with no problem. Well,
remember back in the day, Bill Parcells called out Phil Simms.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah. The only one he didn't call out was Lawrence Taylor.
He didn't call out Harry Carson either.
They hope he will show up on time. That's probably why they didn't say anything to him.
They didn't say a word to him. I heard Lawrence Taylor used to drive a golf cart to practice on the field. They literally let him do what he wanted to do.
Him and Harry Carson.
One of the books I had, they said he would go to sleep underneath, like, you know, you're watching film, you know, film study. They said he would come in the room, put sunglasses on, and lay down on the floor and go to sleep. And then they would go through a whole meeting, and then, you know, Belichick or whoever the coordinator would, hey, and he would, I'm supposed to do this, 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 and this, and lay back down. He knew his assignments. It's just that's just him.
Oh, wait a second. So he would fall asleep, but he still knew the assignment.
He knew his assignments,
He knew what he was supposed to do. And everybody else was supposed to. So, you know, you really can't say anything. It's like, you good?
Who was the guy on the linebacker? Wasn't it Banks that had kind of like messed up skin?
Yeah, that was Carl Banks.
Carl Banks.
Let me tell you something. Carl Banks, and all the linebackers were good. Let's not confuse the game. Lawrence Taylor was just superstar good, but those guys were all good. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's
very
fair. Yeah.
That's where I heard, back then, remember, we were young. That's when Carl Banks was saying he had a book on every player he played against. And he would go through every book, their tendencies, the thing. And that's when you started realizing like the aptitude of what made that team great. And the fact that those linebackers not only were skilled, they were smart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were smart. Harry Carson, smart. You know what I mean? So
Gary Reason, Banks,
So Gary, you know, he said he'd had a bank and he'd have a book and he'd go through that book on who they were playing. You know what I mean? He would go through every single one of them. But I wanted to bring something. I was reading the New York Post, which, you know, it's the New York Post. But let me tell you about Parcells. We just brought up Parcells. Parcells has given, you know, back then, the money. Parcells has lent out over $4 million to former players with no expectation of giving it back.
Yep.
He says he's lent it to them because, you know, maybe the guys who's called them, if they needed something, he has taken care of players up to $4 million.
Because they took care of him. He wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, you know, without these guys. They sacrificed a lot.
That's because the league won't take care of him.
Don't knock that, Byron. Come on, that's not fair, man. Don't knock because they take care of him.
No, that's part of it. That's part of it.
They said they put their lives, might as well, you know, put their
he,
body.
He did say that, but I'm just saying it's still. By the way, he acknowledged that. He goes, look, I got a lot for these guys and this and that. But, you know, sometimes these guys are taken advantage of. They weren't making the money these guys are making today. You know what I mean? I mean, I just can't imagine any of these guys with these contracts that, you know, I think there's still opportunity for someone to be taken. I just don't think that they're going to be taken where they're going to be going bust, right? It's just so much money. Number one, but then again, you got the Madoffs of the world who took, you know, he took the Mets owner for $400 million.
Yeah. Right.
So, but, you know, it was just nice to read about Parcells, right? That he took care of his players. And it's not like every coach has said they've done that.
Well, plus, you know, if you look at the league, you know, historically, they don't take care of the guys. Once they're done, they're done. That's it. We'll put you in the Hall, but we're not going to buy you dinner.
Yeah, but people don't realize.
Time out. You get a pension after 3 years, right, Byron?
Yeah, you don't get it until you're 55.
Yeah. And most careers are over by age 27.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah, 27, 28. So now you got 27, 28. You got to wait all the way till you're 55 to get this money.
What pension do you know gives it to you after 3 years and you get paid right away?
None.
Okay, so then what's the difference? When you're in the sheriff, you got a pension as a sheriff?
Yeah, I got one now, after 25 years.
How many years did you have? I'm just saying you had to be there for sure.
Yeah, but I got it as soon as I was finished after 25 years.
After 25 years?
Yeah.
What would you have gotten after 10? Peanuts.
Probably nothing.
Like 30%?
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
My dad went 20 years in the Army. His pension wasn't fantastic. In fact, they didn't even tell him about disability. So, they get that. They get health insurance. I'm not saying it's all the greatest.
They don't get health insurance once they're finished. They get nothing. They have to go get a job like everybody else. They do not get health insurance.
I'll look it up, but according to my buddy who played I was younger than me.
Right.
He played. He came to me because we were trying to figure out how to get reinsurance because they give him coverage. You get health coverage for after a certain amount of years.
Right.
But it's only for extremities. So it's like they don't cover like the major stuff that you need. So it's insurance.
Yeah, the major stuff that they got hurt.
Yeah.
So, but I understand. I'm just saying, and I'm not making light of it. I think they should get more. Or something should happen, right? I mean, I think the plan, but they should build that into the collective bargaining too, because you don't think about it. Didn't you just say we did a study before that the average running backs were making less than like $4 million, right?
Yeah.
And these guys are making 100 and something million. The collective bargaining agreement is putting some of that money towards health insurance.
You have a small group that make that kind of money. Everybody doesn't make that money. Yeah. They all don't. It's like a real small group. They've been trying to get money, the guys that built that game from the 40s and the 50s and 60s, and they do these guys dirty. And also, they open up with the CT thing and all this other stuff. Oh, well, we need to open up this, these guys can get, it took them decades to give these guys insurance, the ones that really needed it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that in the collective bargaining agreement, some of those guys that are making that crazy kind of money, somewhere along the line, they need to part of it's got to be contributed because they could build a fund for insurance for these guys.
But they have one. They just started it. That's like maybe
not too long ago. It's just brand new. Yeah, like the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. that because you had all these players that could not pay their medical bills, that, you know, were physically unable to even walk because of what they did for the game.
Have you seen how John Elway looked?
Yeah, but he also was one of the guys making, you know, when $1 million a year was unheard of.
Well, he was worth $100 million outside of football.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And so so he was taken care of. His family, you know, talking about generational wealth, Jack Jr. doesn't have to, you know, worry about a thing. That's why he didn't finish going to college and playing football, because he didn't need to.
Yeah, but how many of them other, what you got the Elway, what about them other guys that played, they didn't get that kind of money. Some of them went, check by, like everybody else, check by check by check.
And the old quarterback for the Jim McMahon, he's one of the guys that him and Ditka, and some of those old guys, they're the ones that put together, a fund for, retired. Yeah. So, but that's just been with the last 5-6 years.
And it's a shame that, you have, those old timers that have done very well, that, they're going to get together, that they're going to put a fund, so these guys can, they need a wheelchair, they need this, they need that or whatever. And it's, the NFL is a multi-billion dollar,
company.
A company.
Think about it. The don't Cowboys take care of are worth, what, $6 billion? Just one team.
Yeah.
Right? So, that's what I'm saying. They got to do something where it's part of the proceeds, part of the profits, you got to go into some type of...
Don't say profit.
Okay, part of the revenue. Revenue is not profit.
It doesn't matter. Don't say it.
Why?
But that's a bad word with NFL. Revenue, revenue sharing.
I don't believe in open up the books. I don't believe in opening up the books.
Why not?
Because you didn't put up the money. You didn't put up the $250 million to buy the team. The guy took the risk.
But I'm out there risking my body playing every game, every week.
Don't play. But don't play.
Oh, that's all. That's the easy way to do it.
Byron, it's unfair. Look, I believe in giving to the fund. I believe they should give back. I believe in a lot of that, right? But I do not believe it is a private company, right? It's not a public unless it's Green Bay, okay? Yeah. There's no reason that an entrepreneur who takes the risk to put the money into a team and facilities.
Name one team that's losing money. One. None of them losing money.
Not even Cleveland.
That is not true, okay? They're not losing money today. But a lot of the teams, why did they move from one city to the next?
I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about right this second.
You can't act like, okay, this dimes are different. I'm just saying to you, let's not act like these teams didn't make money. Teams have moved because they weren't making money.
How many teams have moved? Two? Three?
No. The Raiders moved every 5 years. So
Raiders, St. Louis, Los Angeles, San Diego, Baltimore, Cleveland. Keep going, bro.
Four out of 32 have moved.
We can keep going, bro. There's a lot of them. There's only the staples that haven't moved. Four. Right? And then they renegotiate. I'm just saying they should not open up the books. It's a private company. It's your company. It's my company.
Here's a prediction for you guys talking about teams moving. I'm going to tell you a team that's going to move just north but stay in the same state. Chicago Bears. They recently bought out the old racetrack up in Arlington Heights, Illinois. More of suburban access than going to downtown Chicago. The Bears are going to turn a profit.
Really?
Yeah.
But that stadium is awesome. It's right
there. It is. But Soldier Field is historic, but it's a nightmare we were down there last year just for a week, and we flew into Midway. We went downtown for a little while, but just driving by the stadium, the parking situation is horrible. So you get them out in the suburbs, it's going to be a lot better for the Bears. The Bears.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's going to be better? They sell out, don't they?
Yeah. They do, but it's going to be a larger stadium. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be able to, have a lot more amenities. I mean, not saying they don't at Soldier Bank, Chase Field, whatever it's called. What's that?
Who's going to be able to afford that? The people that live in that area. Because that's just the way it is, man. It's a big business. That's all it is. You figure they make money preseason. They charge for parking. They charge a crazy amount for the seats. There's still all the apparel.
$7,700 by the way.
Where's all that money go? It goes in the owner's pocket.
Yeah. So well, the problem is that the stadium downtown, all the parking is city parking for the most part. Mm-hmm. So now it's going to go all to the McCaskey family.
Like what Paul Allen did with the Seattle Seahawks. Oh, you're not going to build the stadium? Yes. Well, you know what? I'll pay for my own stadium. I'll pay for the parking, and you get nothing. That's exactly what the Seattle Seahawks guy did years ago.
And it's a shame. I used to go.
Did Seattle Seahawks move?
Yeah, they have their own stadium.
Where they move to? Seattle ain't move anywhere.
They moved to Seattle.
Not Seattle Seahawks.
Supersonics.
You mentioned the Supersonics. Sorry. Well, you mentioned Paul Allen. Paul Allen owns the Seahawks?
Well, used to, yeah. Until he passed.
I forgot. That's right. He owned the NFL team and he owns an NBA team.
Yep.
Because he owns
the Seahawks. Then you have Stan Kroenke, who owns the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and the Rams.
Damn.
Yeah, so money like that? He's got rings right now. The Kroenkes have rings. And now one of his in-laws, another Walmart person, owns the Broncos. So Walmart is all over Colorado sports right now.
It's kind of like Walmart stores all over the place.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Sam's Club. I hate going to Sam's Club. Oh, fortune.
Why?
Because I spend too much money. Going there for one thing. Next thing I got $500 worth of stuff. And more toilet paper than I'll use in a lifetime.
Yeah, but toilet paper and stuff like that isn't so bad because it's non-perishable and you could hold on to it, right? But it's when you buy the other stuff.
Yeah.
That is like, you get stupid, right?
Yep.
It's a big cereal box. It's like, you got everyone's box.
I have a bottle
of ketchup and stuff.
And Vic, since you're in Florida, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And White Castle or Crystal?
No, White Castle.
I was just at White Castle last week.
White Castle. I will never surrender. White Castle I don't think I've ever been to a Crystal.
Like I went to White Castle on the way back from the Perth Amboy game.
Okay.
Route 1, North Brunswick.
Isn't there a White Castle in Amboy?
No. It's one in Rawway. Rawway, one in Edison. Right on Route 1. And one on North Brunswick.
There's one in Woodbridge, isn't there?
I don't think anymore.
It used to be, right?
It moved up to like Broadway on Route 1.
Now, Byron, there is one up in Allentown.
It is? What?
Yeah. Woo, it's Bethlehem, Allentown area. There's one up there. The only reason I know that is because the trainer, from my job, she works up there. Right. Whenever she comes into the office and I'm in the office, I always like give her $20 to get me like 100 sliders. And that's the only time I really indulge in that kind of stuff. But I just want to get on the record that Crystal's is a Florida poor man's version of White Castle.
I've never been to a Crystal's.
Perth Amboy had a Crystal's back. This is before your time, Victor. But Perth Amboy had a Crystal's over by the train station, like where not Costa's, where the hot dog stand is. Yeah. But on the other, what is that? That's Fifth Street, Fayette Street, not Fayette Street. Market Street, on Market Street. By the train station, they used to have right there. The
Crystals?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The one thing I saw, I thought of all the Rowe Brothers last weekend. I saw a hot dog truck that said Ed's Hot Dogs on it.
Yeah, he passed, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And his brother took us for all our money and ran off to Florida. So not the same guy, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a hot dog truck. That was like a staple in Bloomfield.
Now JJ's, I heard, is still there, which is kind of sad.
Y'all are making me hungry. Actually, I'm on my way to go to dinner now.
Okay.
Steak.
Well, I have my three double cheeseburgers, some onion rings, and
three.
A pizza.
Yeah, three.
Double cheeseburgers. Three.
A spicy chicken sandwich. That was it.
From where?
From White Castle.
Oh,
when you went, okay.
The only time I've ever been, I go to White Castles and stuff was back in the day when we were out partying. I wouldn't go to White Castle to eat.
The last time I went to the store
and throw them in the microwave just for novelty purposes. But you know, you got to eat 8 million of them to really.
Yeah, and I ate those three, and by the time I got home, my stomach was killing me. I got home.
If you definitely need help because you're bloated, you need to eat the
bite. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Now I'm going to steak joint right now. I actually got somebody coming in. All right, so we're getting ready for the season. I'm excited. So are you looking forward to who's Denver coming up with first?
The Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders.
I think you should beat the Raiders.
We should, yeah.
Okay, but I like Jimmy G, so, you know.
Yeah, but little Joshy is their coach.
Yeah, he's
not a good head coach.
Who's the Josh?
Josh McDaniels.
McDaniels, right?
Oh. They call me Little Hoodie.
Oh, my God.
Does he cut the sleeves off, too?
Yes, like, he does. He does that, too.
Copycat.
Oh, my God.
I want to look like Daddy Bill.
Well, and listen, we'll see. But I'm excited now for the season. Get ready for some numbers, some stats. It's 7-7. Hey, guys, you know, you guys should watch it if you get a chance. I don't know if you like it, but on Netflix, they got the Gators, the Swamped, or the
Unswamped. Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And it's amazing how anxiety and stress can hit you at any level, any success of everything that you do. Like, you think it's you because, you know, you're not that limelight person, right?
Right.
But that thing hits you no matter where you're at. You know,
the one guy they didn't mention a lot, the number 81.
What's his name?
Yeah, they didn't mention that guy. Not really a little bit, but not really as more as I thought. You know, I thought it'd be a little bit more, but they really didn't do it at all.
What's his name?
Number 81.
Aaron something or other?
Aaron Hernandez, yeah.
And they didn't mention him.
No. I don't think they did. They showed him. I forgot he went there until I saw that.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, they didn't mention him. I mean, he had problems, you know.
You're
a product.
The last place he should have played was New England.
Mental illness is a problem for people. Yeah. I've met someone who's you know, family member has mental illness, and the only way they can keep getting past it is just kind of constantly talking about it by helping others. If not, they get into a dark, if they're solo, they're in a dark place. If they're out there, you know, preaching and helping and doing something else, it seems to help them. But if they're solo, you know, it's tough. Mental illness is something, it's, you know, it's one of those things that people don't want to talk about, but you know, until it comes to the limelight or things happen to someone of prominence, then you start seeing, you know, it's amazing. A lot of actors have mental illness, you know, that's why they act, because it's their ability to be somebody else.
Well, you know, I was a theater arts major at Uppsala, right? I was. I'm dead serious.
You were in drama? You were in those plays and stuff?
Yeah.
We used to go watch them, but, you know, that's funny. I wish I would have tried it, you know, but...
As you can tell, I have issues. So, you know, that's part of it.
Well, yeah, you have to have issues if you were a punt returner too, right?
They say No. I was on the punt return team. I was not the guy getting. No, that was Roy Jarrett. Roy, don't you?
Yeah, that's my little brother.
Yeah. So, Roy was great.
Roy became a punt returner. Yeah, Roy was really good.
He was really good.
You know what I mean? He's my little brother.
Yep.
I was a punt returner, folks.
That's probably why he picked you.
It's
that punt return bond.
Yeah,
you read about all the time.
I put up some numbers.
Yeah, I know you did. But Roy, for the first 2 years or first 2-3 weeks our freshman year, he led the NCAA in kickoff returns and punt returns.
Yeah, he ended up number 3 in the country my sophomore year. I was number 1 for most of the year, and I ended number 3. I ended number 3 for the country. Average 18. But so I'll end you this story. So I get a letter in our mailboxes, and it's from the president of the college. And I'm like, oh, man, our fraternity's in trouble. That's the first thing I thought. Like, why am I getting a handwritten letter from the president? First thing I thought, we did something. And we did a lot of stuff.
We did.
It was because you know that NCAA paper?
Yep.
Because I was ranked, got us in that paper.
Oh, cool.
Right. So he was like thanking us for getting, you know, up to some prominence and this stuff like that. But my first reaction wasn't that.
He never found out about the soda machine, did he?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Me neither. I don't know nothing about that. Yeah.
I don't know anything about an upsell tennis and racquetball sign.
Nope. None whatsoever. None of that stuff.
Byron, you have no idea things that we saw.
People ask me, like, oh, you're running a frat. I said, yeah, it's more like a gang.
Nah. We were good. Hey, listen to me. We were
the good guys on campus, though.
Yes, we were.
We were the good guys.
All the parties. All the parties were at our house, at our fraternity house. The girls felt safe. You know, we were good guys. So, all right, my brothers. Well, again, let me wrap this up. Don't forget, every Thursday at what time, Byron?
Don't.
8 p.m. live on Facebook and YouTube. We could also stream, and you'll be hearing us on joining our podcast. What's the matter?
Better. Yeah. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Oh, shoot, you actually had the right numbers up. All right, 8 o'clock. Don't forget to subscribe to us on all our channels on YouTube, on Facebook, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on every social media outlet you can. You can find the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. John, I really appreciate you joining us again and giving us some information on what's happened in Denver. Good luck at Denver. We are looking forward to us. Don't forget to check the link below. Check out our Gravy Stack banking app for kids. It's a good way to teach them good financial sound practices. We got to do something in this country to change the way we spend and get ourselves out of debt. Every Thursday, we're looking for next week. Next week will be it'll be our first podcast after a NFL game.
Yeah, I hope so.
Right now it's 7-7 and it's going into the second half. So you guys have a great night. God bless. Uncle Eric, thanks for watching. Mo and family, God bless you, and to all those out there that have lost somebody, and prayers to everybody, and you know, let's keep, you know, spread the word of love. God bless. Take care, guys.
Take care, guys. All right. Peace.